Otherwise, it's only Jakkhuprasada, not Jakkhayatana. Like when we are fast asleep, it's not Jakkhayatana at all.
But I understand his word about that Jakkhuprasada Rupa, which is Ayatana, doesn't last in long enough. Not
17 moments? Not long enough for
it is.
Seeing
but,
to arise.
It has to be the right one. Or another one can be taken for seeing.
Who knows? Just,
we don't know.
We know it happens. It was just a curiosity. Was the rising of Chakavinyana, does the Pasada Rupa arise?
It doesn't matter, yeah, it's true. Because the other one is the heart base, the next citta of the process takes the heart base. So no worry, there's always a base.
Yeah, don't worry that this, it was just a curiosity, does it rise? But it helps
when
to know,
we, when we know that?
Well,
and
I
what about this moment?
Ever, I don't know if you ever know that.
Yeah, and we will forget because it's not directly experienced.
Yeah.
You had a question about the rupas being molested, maybe.
Molested and afflicted, that sounded very strange to me. I can understand the rupas of the body being afflicted, but would we say all rupas are afflicted? Like I was sitting looking at my car and thinking, well, I don't think the rupas of the car are afflicted like these rupas.
This thinking of the image of the car is a reality of a car?
No, it's the reality of a car is just hardness or visible object.
Yeah. So actually at that moment, it's only thinking in a dream again, always in a dream, about things and everything in life.
Oh, okay, so my question is, are all rupas afflicted or just
what
the
do
rupas?
You mean,
do you think of rupana to be afflicted or...
Rupati.
Yeah, the word in the commentary, rupana, affliction. Rupa and rupana.
The meaning of rupa is to be afflicted.
In what way?
Because
by cold and heat and gadfly and
body.
Hunger. So we think more of rupas of the body, not so much of rupas outside.
And why not all rupas?
That's because even the harness is afflicted by heat and cold and wind.
That's not all rupas.
Okay, I thought it probably meant all rupas.
Dhamma is Dhamma. Rupa is Rupa. All rupas are the same.
Well, I wasn't sure. That's why I said.
Because Rupa doesn't have any experience, right? So whether it's the body Rupa or it's the table Rupa, it's still the same. It's just Rupa. We seem to associate the Rupa here as being something that feels but doesn't feel.
Well, it was just the way I read it from the net, because that's what was my question. It seemed like a really strange adjective to use, but I understand what it means now.
Understand the story of Rupa?
The story of Rupa,
yes.
And I still am not quite clear on what you were saying before when we were talking about the internal rupas and why the rupas of the body are stressed or given as the internal rupas, because as you explained, it's true that one's body goes everywhere with one and one is very concerned about the rupas of one's body. However, wherever one goes, there's seeing a visible object, usually not related to one's body, but related to all sorts of other objects around. And we're very, very concerned about visible object. That's why we often read about why seeing a visible object are given first, or sounds. We're very, very concerned about sounds. So I couldn't quite understand why you were stressing, well, body is given because it goes everywhere with one.
All right, we are sitting here. Which rupa you take for your body?
Okay, the rupas of the body.
So, can that be the answer?
Right, because those are the ones most likely to be taken for self.
That is one meaning of the inner. And the other is that among all the rupas here, which one is the inner?
Yes.
In the ayatanas.
Ayatanas. While the others seems like it doesn't have to do anything at all. Because actually only the five bases are the Pasada Rupa.
In internal ayatanas.
Yeah.
But you could say, okay, Right, well, they're not the inner, but the others are the external ayatanas. So when we read about the internal rupas just being the pasada rupas, it's referring to the inner ayatanas.
Right. Without them, there cannot be seeing, hearing.
Right.
Just getting back to rupas being afflicted for a moment, I've always found this a bit puzzling. Puzzling in the sense that this characteristic of being susceptible to affliction is given as the distinguishing characteristic of rupas. And if I'd have just been asked, I'd have said, well, rupas were not susceptible to affliction. It seems they arise, they fall away, they're momentary. And also we have a concept of rupas as being somehow impervious to outside interference. So why is this chosen as the actually distinguishing or the way of defining a rupa?
Can you burn citta?
No.
So let's burn rupa.
Lead and cold, hunger.
But we do read that all dharmas are oppressed because of rise and fall. That's why they're dukkhas, but I think it's a slightly different meaning. So what does it mean by all dharmas, including cittas, are oppressed because of rise and fall?
So since it has to be like that, it's like being oppressed.
Oppressed, yes. Different from rupas, which are afflicted.
What does oppressed mean?
Well, I think there's a problem with the English terms, because when we say afflicted or oppressed, they're rather similar in English. So when we're talking about rupas being afflicted by the elements, it's being battered up or something like that. But when we're talking about all dharmas being oppressed, it means all dharmas being unsatisfactory or all dharmas being...
It's under the law of dharma itself.
I think I related the afflictedness to discomfort, uncomfortable feeling or unpleasant feeling. So that's why I thought, well, there's only these rupas that... Well, it's not even these rupas that feel uncomfortable, is it?
No.
Can you say a little more about the meaning of oppressed? You say it's just the law of dharma. Do you mean just the arising and falling away?
Because when anyone is oppressed, it's not satisfactory at all.
So basically, Ajahn, isn't it just the fact that they're impermanent is the...
Right.
That's what one can say.
Right. It's just a way of explanation.
In there, you talk about four human realms. So like this realm that...
No one can see. Beyond imagination. I cannot see.
It was very
square face and round face and
egg-shaped face. It's true. When I read the chapter of the planes of existence, I must say I had a thrill of excitement that I had still so many different planes to examine, to go through.
Is it as interesting as this plane?
It'll be the same. I mean, see if I have
to
eyes.
Understand Dhamma? So interesting of this world. Exactly the same, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind.
And probably no Dhamma.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Is it helpful to talk about planes of existence at all?
You can one know, can one experience, or knowing that it's only a moment of thinking?
Ajahn's shaking her head, it's not useful to know. In that case, why would you have given a lecture, or why?
It's in Tipitaka. If anyone is interested, he can continue reading or searching for that.
But every moment, it's like one can experience, in a way, different planes of existence. This moment, there might be joy. The next moment, there might be something that feels very heavy. The next moment, there might be something else. So it keeps. One can go through, in a way, many different experiences and planes, in a way.
It depends on what aspect we are talking about. For example, we can talk about the four chatis, the kusala, akusala, vipaka, and kiriya. We don't talk about the levels of citta. But when we talk about bhumi, there are two meanings. The bhumi of citta, which can be kama vajra, rupa vajra, arupa vajra, and lokutra, even in this world. Mm. But when we talk about the result of kusala, they are not just this world. But there must be seeing, hearing for heavenly world. But for Brahma, they have eyes and ears, and arupa Brahma, there is no rupa at all.
What do you mean when you say one's own way?
About to what?
To do it one's own way.
Can you have my way?
It's just conditions.
Well, sometimes I wonder. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen and I learn from you.
Yes. But at this very moment, my thought, my thinking, can it be yours?
No. Yeah. But you mean awareness of one reality through one doorway at a time. Is that what you mean?
No, I think I'm interpreting it as just to be quite natural.
Your way is the interest of the four worlds, and my way is not interested at all.
So why is there a chapter in the survey on all the different
just
realms?
To say that there is not just one world.
This morning I heard several times that it is always I who want to know, or I'm experiencing, and that is not the right way, it's not understanding. So it's, again, I like to know how to have that less.
Do we have to think about oneself, whether I have I who is ready now,
yeah,
or it's just...
But it happens accumulated for a long time.
Can't that also be known, that there's that thinking I?
Mm-hmm. It's good to know.
Yeah. But it can be known as just thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But even when you don't think,
right,
it's there. Mm.
Question from Phil about the path as dispersion, apachyagamin. Apparently this is explained as being dispersion in the sense of not building up dhammas that lead to accumulations, like tearing down the bricks of the wall. What does it mean, dispersion here?
Have no more.
Is it the opposite of accumulation? Dispersion in the opposite sense of accumulation. Mm. So at the moment of development of the path, one is no longer accumulating factors for continued existence in samsara. I think I remember reading in one of the commentaries about the bricklayer building up the wall. Is this related to that simile? Yeah. The other one is about loba. I think he was reading a passage where you were explaining that we don't like the idea of having loba, but we like actually having loba.
Not true?
I think it's very true, yes.
We have loba for the idea of not having loba.
We have loba for the idea of not having loba, right.
About the bricklayer, moments of jhana, is that adding bricks?
Yes.
Sansara vata.
He heard you refer to an expression about hole in the roof of loba.
The roof of loba?
It was seen
in
India.
And the hole in the roof?
Yeah, I remember.
In India, was it?
Because the roof covers panya.
Yeah.
Could you say a little more about it?
When it's open, panya can develop.
So what is the hole in the roof? Panya is the hole in the roof of loba?
It can come out little by little.
I see.
I don't know, because it might be in Tipitaka somewhere about what covers one from understanding reality. Who can go out?
So it helps a lot to talk or to read about Nama and Rupa.
In order to understand Nama and Rupa right now,
it helps to understand it now.
Nama and Rupa right now. To understand the reality of Nama and Rupa right now.
I think it's the need to understand right now that we keep forgetting, in the sense that we've already talked a lot about Dhammas and Namas and Rupas. I'm just saying that we do keep forgetting that it's the understanding at this moment that is...
That is the important, yes. Yeah. But create the conditions.
It has not happened. What do you think about it?
I used to be distressed about it. I now see that it's conditioned. It can't be made right understanding of it.
So one can see that Lopat does not let go thinking of having it at all.
Yes, exactly. Without understanding it, we are reminded by the present moment, it can be Lopa again arising at that moment, trying to catch realities.
The roof of avidya.
What was Thopajan about? Being natural, not needing to change one's accumulation because it's just self who thinks like this anyway. This is just a curiosity question. Robert mentioned that you had said, oh, you enjoyed singing as a teenager, but then you read the Buddha said it was madness, so you stopped singing.
By what?
By accumulations, yeah? At the moment of hearing vibrations. Yes, yes.
And Kunji still sings.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So she
different accumulations.
Same thing.
Different conditions.
I play music, there's a lot of accumulation.
Yes. That's it. It's accumulation at that moment, too.
Otherwise, there's no way to understand Dhamma as Dhamma, yeah. Because the self is trying to suppress it. And that is by Lopa,
yes.
Motivated by Lopa, unknowingly.
Right.
That's why only Panya can understand Lopa as just Lopa.
Would you, that example of reading singing is madness and by conditions or by accumulations?
For months. Yeah.
But still, by conditions for you when you read it?
I don't know why, but I didn't sing that song. Yeah.
Right.
Sometimes, okay, to children, and little by little, I don't mind at all. No rule. Yeah.
Nothing to do with samadhana, sila,
no,
just the conditions and accumulations.
It's better to understand one's condition as it is.
Right.
We play music, so we are natural. But in practice, we still cling and nothing happens because you say you have to know your accumulations.
Right.
But we don't.
It's
we just go
like
on.
What drive you to speak like this? Even you heard it, you couldn't manage it.
No.
See? Because
it's deeply accumulated. Anusaya.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But when there is expectation, why not? I couldn't do that. That is done by Lopa again.
Yeah. And that's the worst Lopa.
I relate to that because when I hear music, I've got to dance. And it's like if I don't, okay, it's Lopa to do it, and it's dosa not to.
Because why? It has a reason.
The dosa or the need to dance.
Conditions for dancing has a reason. So there is such manners.
Mm-hmm.
By condition. So you think ahead before it has a reason, but actually it arises by conditions already.
So if we hear this often enough, it can help us. To understand.
Or just understanding the way it is.
Just getting back to your comment to me earlier about if one reminds oneself that it has to be now, then there can be immediately clinging, you know, to the idea of there being more awareness now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's natural for everyone because we have so much accumulated attachment. But at the same time, there can't be awareness without there being the attention to the present reality there.
I think that the more one is concerned about oneself, the more Lopa enjoy it. That it can keep you in its clench or roof.
Net.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's many conditions for not being forgetful of the present moment. One of those is the direct reminder that one sometimes gives oneself, and that can be a condition for attachment.
It seems to me there's bound to be lots of lobe for lots of objects, including thinking of oneself or thinking of results or this or that, but it seems that the danger is not so much the lobe that's conditioned and bound to be there, but if there's some idea that there's something good about it, that being concerned about having results or something like this, if one has the idea that that kind of akusala is kusala, that is the danger.
It's the skill of Lopa, so much to know.
To think that what is bad is good.
Mm-hmm. Because you see that when we are talking about reminder, it's the reminder of understanding, not of wanting to have you do it at all. Because as long as you are trying, it doesn't go anywhere. It's there, deep down with desire and attachment.